The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tastytrade is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Good Wednesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber, the New York Stock Exchange. Pre-market does turn negative here as the headline CPI runs hot, up 5.4 year on year. You got earnings season officially kicking off with JP Morgan and Delta. 10-year near 1.59. Fed funds futures now close to pricing in a first rate hike as soon as September. Our roadmap begins with the kickoff to earnings season. B of A, BlackRock, Delta all beat. But investors also closely watching inflation forecasts.
Plus, broken supply chain, Moody's warning of dark clouds ahead, and the White House brokering a deal to help keep key Westport coasts open 24/7.
And beam me up, Scotty. Legendary Star Trek actor William Shatner is set to become the oldest person to fly to space as Blue Origin sets to lift off in the next hour. Let's talk some J.P. Morgan, Jim. A pretty nice beat, $2 billion of reserve releases, average loans up 6. That's going to be an interesting story to tell.
I'm sick of the following. They put a great number. You look at it in a vacuum. Seems really strong. Investment banking really strong. Assets gathering really strong. Obviously, M&A strong. The credit card looks strong. And then you start hearing things where, see, the stock goes up, and then it starts ticking down. Now, suddenly, everyone's looking at how credit card's weakening. Can people just understand, and David, you know this better than anyone, that this is a stock that has a history of opening up and then going down, yeah. And we are part of that history once again.
There are people who keep these statistics, but I can't remember a quarterly report from J.P. Morgan where the stock moved higher, or at least higher in a significant way, maybe by pennies. But there is rarely a positive response, it seems, to their numbers, despite the fact that we typically sit here and say these look pretty good.
Well, it's been a good stock going into the quarter. It had a great move, but there's a recognition when we start getting there that, you know what, this company is not a member of FANG. This company is not a super high-tech HubSpot company. It's an old, good company. And when you have comments like Jamie is giving the other day about how Bitcoin is worthless, I mean, the world is flat, about I work there. I'm trying to get my Bitcoin moved over to J.P. Morgan. Why? Because then I know it'll exist. It won't just, like, go away. In the meantime, he tells me it's a fraud. Now, we have to stop with this J.P. Morgan obsession because it does have a higher price earnings multiple. But, David, these numbers are excellent, and it means nothing to the market. So what does that say?
I'm not sure what it says. I would point out, though, that there is a period of time after they report earnings, typically, when the stock starts to move up. Because right. You wouldn't have a stock that's up 64% over the last 12 months.
You know what plan that? You know what period that is? I'll explain to David the way it works. What's going to happen? You want to focus here for a second?
I'm listening. I was also reading what Jamie had to say.
He doesn't help the stock at all.
I'm doing both.
What happens is by this time next week, we realize it was the best of the quarters. I used to say to my friend, Mr. Evangelisti, Trish on now, that, Joe, delay your reporting for 1 week. Joe was the consigliere. So it's the greatest. You know, we all know Joe.
Yes, I mean, head of corp com.
Yeah, he's got a place near me in Ocean Grove. He's dynamite. I used to say, just report a week from now, and everyone will realize that you're the best. And he would laugh, but the fact is that they are the best, and when we see a week from now, we'll say, why do we sell it? And then people start buying it again.
Investment banking up 45.
Look at that.
Combined debit and credit card spend now up 25 over 2019. In Q1, it was up only 10 from those levels.
It's but Jim, fintech.
But to David's point, KBE is once again at some resistance levels. It's been hard to break through.
I know. It's discouraging to me. And then we'll get Johnson & Johnson. The stock will be up 5. Same price levels. Remember, why will it be up 5? Well, because the stock had sold down in anticipation. So we had J.P. Morgan going up, 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 and now we realize, well, it was going up because of this. And then, you know what J.P. Morgan is not, David?
What?
It's not a meme stock.
No, it is not, and nor will it ever be, would be my guess.
It's a real company. Not the oldest bank, by the way. I don't know if you heard it. It's Bank of New York Mellon.
I was aware of that. It was started by the guy who's buried not far from here.
I went to see his grave yesterday.
You did?
Yes, he did. Alexander Hamlin.
Yeah, well,
right across the street.
Yeah, I passed by it pretty regularly.
Yeah, I just felt like I wanted to go see it a little because I was starting to lose faith in capitalism.
Oh, did you spend a little time?
I did.
Commune with him?
He was also killed about 10 minutes from where I was, you know.
Weehawken.
In New Jersey, right?
Yeah. And I realized.
Did he communicate anything to you? Anything you want to share?
What do you mean? Kind of a.
Yeah.
What is it,
kind of an occult thing?
You mean like save the whales? Like, you know, because of Shatner?
We'll get to him later, but yeah.
No, he didn't communicate anything to me. I don't do that.
Did he whisper, save capitalism, Jim?
He just reminded me that how this country was built, and you have to be a little tougher. He was tough.
Yeah.
But also, remember, he wrote pamphlets under not his name, someone else's name.
The Reynolds pamphlet.
Yes, the Reynolds pamphlet, which is not unlike what ATT with that channel that they have.
OM.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. CATT, Tim? Starting to make a comeback, isn't it? I'm sorry, no.
He's like Ahab with a whale, except AT&T is his whale.
I am a little Ahab.
Yeah.
Just call me Ishmael.
You are
call me
singularly AT&T. Focused on AT&T.
Well, it's one of the largest stocks.
By the way, let me tell you, they love that. They really
do. A lot of the companies, when I focus on them like Citi during the period when they were like dancing musical chairs.
Makes them so
they
happy.
Like it. I think they called my friend Jeff Immelt about it.
They really are so pleased.
Well,
back to the banks for a moment, Reserve release, never viewed that positively.
No one likes that.
Even though it is a positive. I mean, it's not a negative. They're obviously saying we don't need to have as much reserves because of our credit quality.
Yeah. Look at that, will you?
Yeah.
It's a hoax.
Jamie himself said years ago, I don't count them either. So he's sort of discounted reserve.
Is he doing that stuff? You know, stuff where it's like, I don't know. Like, I'm really proud. America's great.
Well,
we got a fortress balance sheet.
The line is, you know, good growth, the dampening effect of the Delta variant, and supply chain disruptions, which he said yesterday.
Consumer may be weakening. Yeah,
but he thinks supply chain disruptions will be a thing of the past next year.
Temporary.
Right? By the way, we're past temporary when it comes to inflation, right?
Bostic has
Bostic's
transitory jar.
Yes,
he's every time he says the word, got to put a dollar.
Did I win the argument then?
Bud Light started taking place
about a year ago.
Bud Light. Transitory is a drinking game.
Oh,
we have to drink Bud Light every time it's said.
Got it.
You know, you ended up being smashed for Mad Money.
Got to drink a lot of Bud Light.
I know. It's going to switch to Coors Light.
Yeah.
Coors is having a better quarter than people realize, by the way.
Well, we're going to talk Stars upgrade today.
That's very good.
It's Constellation.
Guys, before we move on from banking, investment banking, you saw the
how
numbers.
How fabulous was it?
And by the way, you saw the Jefferies quarter, which is typically
Richard Handler,
a little bit
again,
of a tell. And that stock's up 100%. But we'll see what we get from Goldman. We'll see what we get from Morgan Stanley.
We got a HubSpot analyst meeting yesterday. Why don't you get with the program?
HubSpot?
Oh, my God. Are you really asking me what HubSpot is?
Carl, help me here.
You're asking me what HubSpot is. Marketing, cloud-based marketing. This is the best stock in the market.
Oh.
I didn't know. That's what Hamlin told me.
I don't watch
Hamlin,
the ticker.
I was listening to Hamlin. He goes, hey, listen, how about HubSpot?
I don't watch the ticker the way you do.
All right.
You do use it well. Part of your old days, I imagine, right?
Yeah. David, keep this market HubSpot, not JP Morgan.
Really? I thought it was Freeport McMoran.
That was the oldest.
Yeah, it was. Okay, because it's past.
Anyway, can I just say that it was a great quarter?
Yeah.
And if they reported on Wednesday, we would see it would go to 168 next Wednesday.
Also got Delta, of course, moving a bit lower despite posting the first quarterly profit since the pandemic. Says they expect a modest current quarter loss due to higher fuel costs. As for the vaccine mandates, here's what Ed Bastian said about them earlier on Squawk.
90% vaccinated, fully vaccinated across our entire company. And those numbers continue to improve day by day. And by the time we get into November, I'm confident that number is going to be in the 95% range. So when you think about what we've done, you know, we haven't done it with a mandate. We've done it working collaboratively with our people, trusting our people to make the right decisions for themselves, respecting their decisions, but at the same time, avoiding the divisiveness of what the mandate's, you know, posing to society.
Says that revenue should be back to 2019 levels by 2023, sees business and international having a good year next year, and certainly, Jim, as the U.S. now going to open land borders, vax required, that's going to help some tourism.
That's a better quarter than I expect from Southwest. I never thought I'd say that in a million years. Delta did better than Southwest. I also want to say to corporate America, stop using the term mandate. Start using the term required. I think required has a sense of, well, you have to do it. Mandate is a sense of Bigfoot. What do you think of it?
I like it.
You like it?
Yeah.
You know, hey, we require
same
vaccines
meaning,
around here. When you
word.
Go to, when you go to a college, well, we require meningitis. We don't say we mandate meningitis. Mandate. Mandate is jackboot.
No.
Required
we also,
is.
We also require you to take math.
Right.
It's a required course.
Yes.
Required course.
When I got to Harvard, I was required to swim 100 yards because the guy, the Titanic, the guy didn't make it to the Titanic, the lifeboat, so we had to swim 100 yards. It was required. It wasn't mandated.
Okay. Right. Well, that was back in the, what, the 1920s?
Yeah.
Well, no. Had they invented swimming back then?
That, yeah.
Yeah, the crawl.
Yeah.
We did the crawl.
Did the
I
crawl.
Did the pad.
The Australian crawl?
Well, now we got, speaking of aviation, Boeing going to require vaccines for their employers by
well, 125,000 you know people, by
as
the way.
Someone who owns the stock
of Boeing
for my travel trust, I require better earnings. I require better sales.
You've been saying that for a long time, and you still own it.
Transitory.
Do you own it in your investment club?
Yes, it's transitory. When they get the China order, the long-awaited
China
order. You've
held that for a long time waiting.
Way up big. I'm up big on it for the charitable trust, the investment club.
Okay.
I am going to, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make his face, I'm going to do a little squid stuff or whatever. I'm going to make your face into a QR code. It's you, me, and a QR code.
Yeah, we'll continue to watch it. I mean, a lot of the airline, the way in which, for example, American and Southwest agreed to look past the Texas law was because a lot of that is federal work, right? Federal contractor
yeah,
work.
I don't understand. Like, we truly have a federalist system. President Trump was deeply into the old days, little states' right action, like 1948. We're a federalist system, and it seems like that President Biden is just beginning to realize we're a federalist system. When he calls in the port people, that's kind of the federal government. He did not say, you know what, we got to leave that to the county of Los Angeles. I mean, no, we're starting to act like a federal government again. More Hamiltonian nonsense, by the way, if you want to go to Hamlin's grave with me.
Sure.
Wasn't nonsense. We've gotten away from that, and we're beginning to reclaim the notion of nationhood, which I think is important. Like, the Texas governor is so off the reservation, but nobody says it. I think they're afraid. They'd be afraid by Fox News, Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson, I think that we are a federal system. I guess I'm finished.
Right. We do have some sad news this morning. The business world is mourning the loss of Hasbro CEO Brian Goldner, who's died at the age of 58, just days after taking a medical leave. Hasbro did not disclose the cause of death, but Goldner had been diagnosed with prostate cancer in 2014. The company called him a visionary who, during his 13 years as CEO, transformed the toy maker by pushing it into movies and entertainment. Of course, was a very familiar right. face to our viewers.
Well, Mad Money. Can I just say, Carl? Every time he had a good quarter, I would say, great job. He goes, no, not great job, mate, great job, team. He probably talked about team more than anybody else that's ever come on a show. And I always was saying, no, but your leadership. And he goes, no, team. He is a great man.
Nice statement last night from Viacom CBS, where he was on the board, talking about how he changed this company from just a toy maker into a media giant.
Jeez, that acquisition was great, and he had to do it. If he was just a toy maker, it would have been past his prime, but he had visions. He also would talk about the fact that he was able to revitalize a lot of the games that have been part of Hasbro's tradition. But what he mostly did was show humility, no matter how good the quarter was. God, humility's in short supply. I got the call on Sunday that he was sick, and I said, pull over, my wife. I said, listen, this guy's a titan. He's a titan because he did what you always hope a CEO would do. Never say it was good because of him.
Our thoughts, of course, are with Brian's family and the Hasbro community. Brian Goldner, dead at 58.
1 in 8. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. Who'll serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to McDonald's.
1 in 8, start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
Today, the White House expected to announce plans aimed at solving supply chain bottlenecks ahead of the holiday season. They include a commitment from the Port of L.A. to operate around the clock. President also scheduled to meet this afternoon with executives from companies like FedEx, UPS, Walmart, and Depot, who are expected to announce their own expanded hours operations. There's actually a growing list, Jim, of decent supply chain news, whether it's Vietnam getting a bit better, the Toyota ramp, Malaysia, shipping rates on U.S.-China coming off the highs.
We'll hear from Taiwan semi soon. I have to tell you, this was precisely what was needed, because the labor blamed the shippers and the railroads. The shippers and the railroad, Union Pacific, when they said, look, you know, if the labor worked around the clock, we'd be able to get the stuff there. I understand that they have a technology problem. They can't figure out where the containers are, but they can solve that. So you needed a president to come in, like Harry Truman did. You needed a president to stand up and say, you know what, we can get this done. And sure enough, he did.
He's trying.
Well, but he's trying. You know, I mean, they work 24/7 in China.
I would assume they do.
What happens if they don't over there?
Nothing good. Yeah. But, 24/7 would be helpful, because I don't know how many ships are out there in the harbor.
Let's get to work.
There are quite a few. We see that when
Jane Wells
does one of her great pieces.
Remember On the Waterfront?
Yes, I do.
When Marlon Brando gets out, you know, because it, and he's, why? I mean, jeez. BJ Cobb was unbelievable in that. But when Marlon Brando gets up, then they throw the tokens, you know, and then everybody goes to work, okay? It's like that. Remember, that was actually the mob controlled our ports here, right?
Yes. And where are you going with this?
Just Bernstein, great score.
Yes,
no,
absolutely.
I am saying that there was a control.
Marie Saint, I think, also.
She was fabulous
in
that.
I know. Let's just keep going here.
Give me a beer.
Of course,
how great was that?
Yes.
I mean, now, did anyone read the book?
No.
Oh, my
no.
God. Terry Malloy dies in the book. Do not read the book. Anyway,
I'm almost going to start giving you Charlie here in a second.
Should.
I can't.
I could have been.
That night of the gun, that was my
that cab scene. Now, Carl, I got to go to you. But what I'm saying is that
Charlie, he was my brother.
Someone had to stand up to labor. And the president did, which was actually quite odd, because remember how he said he's a union man?
Yep, that's right.
So let's focus on that. That was interesting.
Meanwhile, don't forget the demand side. Just don't forget, there's still an enormous amount of demand. It's one of the reasons why we have these supply disruptions.
Because the country's changed. Look at the consumer's so strong. You know, we got to go to you, Carl, because there's someone in my ear who keeps saying it. I don't have one of these things and may have money. But now I am told, you know.
Yes. Because at the top of the hour, Jeff Bezos and Blue Origin are set to send William Shatner on a space mission alongside two astronauts and a Blue Origin executive. There's a live shot getting ready on the New Shepard 3 months after Bezos himself took the trip.
Couldn't they give him a seat?
Going to watch all of this, MB.
I mean, it's pretty incredible to look at these images, right? We currently have a hold, right? Liftoff was scheduled for 10 a.m. Eastern sharp. Right now, the hold is about 4 minutes and counting. So it's poised. This latest second crewed mission by Blue Origin is poised to happen just a few minutes after 10 a.m. now. But to see images of Jeff Bezos inside an electric Rivian, which Amazon and Bezos are investors in, getting ready to actually drive the four crew members of this latest all-civilian mission to the edge of space is really quite something to behold. In terms of those crew members, you have William Shatner, Captain James T. Kirk, as he is probably best known as the original captain of the Starship Enterprise on the original Star Trek series. He is in there at 90 years old. He's poised to become the oldest person ever to fly to space. He's joined by Audrey Powers, Blue Origin's Vice President of Mission and Flight Operations. And of course, what's so notable about this from a business standpoint, guys, as we talk about this emerging space economy, two paying passengers will be on board this 11-minute suborbital flight as well today. You've got Dr. Chris Boshausen and you have Glenn DeVries, both entrepreneurs who paid for their seats, although the price is still undisclosed. expectation is it's well into the six figures or potentially even into the low seven figures, but we just don't know. It does speak to the fact that Blue Origin is commercially operational when it comes to these space tourism flights. This is the second one in 3 months behind Bezos' own historic mission back in July. And there is one more that is expected after this. But right now we're keeping an eye. We're about 6 minutes delayed. And that crew is getting ready to make its way over to the launch pad in West Texas at launch site one for Blue Origin. We're going to continue to monitor this.
Meantime, Morgan, NASA just tweeted, William Shatner, we wish you all the best on your flight to space. You are and always shall be our friend. That's a little reference to Wrath of Khan, I think.
Oh, my God. Do you remember when you put the earwig? Was it in Chekhov? That's one of the scariest, scary than squid.
You brought that up a couple of times.
Because that was one of the squares. That was one of the scariest. The earwig. What's the great Ricardo Montalban? That was one of the best villains ever in Star Trek.
I agree.
Can't beat Montalban.
He was
can't
amazing.
Beat him. Can't be beat.
But Morgan, I guess it does raise the question how NASA views all of this.
I think NASA is very welcoming of all of this. It's been interesting to see how the policy has changed for NASA over the last decade or so. I mean, keep in mind that here in the U.S., going all the way back to the 1980s, there has been a push, and it has been in fits and starts for a variety of reasons, to see more civilians actually be able to partake in spaceflight. But these public-private partnerships that NASA has been involved in recent years has helped to spur this entire commercial space sector that we're now seeing become reality.
We're going to watch the launch with your help, Morgan, in just a couple of minutes. In the meantime, we'll take a break. We'll get Kramer's Mad Dash, countdown to the opening bell. Got some interesting calls on Plug, on Cygnet, on Constellation, on Skyworks. We'll talk Apple's production as well as Squawk on the Street continues.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Welcome back. Let's squeeze in a Mad Dash as we get ready for an opening bell about 1 minute from now. Constellation Brands.
There's a lot of flopping and chopping in this market. Dave goes up, it's very unrewarding, and there's a lot of ennui. HSBC hopes that Constellation Brands breaks out. Now, Constellation Brands they've done premiumization of everything they're in. They've dropped the low-end brands, gone to the high-end brands. Hard seltzer did not work out. That's a shame because that was going to be the secret to a really great summer. But, David, the Modelo Especial, they can't even stock the stuff. There are supply chain issues in Mexico. Do you know that they own a brand called Victoria?
What's
they
it
have
called?
Victoria.
Victoria, yes.
When they introduced Pacifico, it took America by storm. They have not even introduced Victoria yet. When they do that, you're going to get another bump up. I keep trying to push them to do Victoria. Maybe they're going to do it. Bill Newlands, very good CEO.
Let's get the opening bell here and the CNBC real-time exchange. At the big board, it's the Ashford Group of Companies celebrating the recovery of the hospitality and travel industries. At the NASDAQ, celebrating an IPO, Avid Exchange, an accounts payable and payment automation provider. We have not yet hit on this report, Jim, of Apple trimming their iPhone production.
Okay, so a Bloomberg report, Bloomberg, very trustworthy, we all know that, did say that they've checked that looks like suppliers of Broadcom Texas Instruments have not been able to produce as many chips. Now, the language of this is make it so Apple's not down more. People say, why isn't Apple down more? Well, because they're talking about how they cannot meet their projections. They're not talking about how they have a demand problem. They have actually more of a, hey, we have too much demand. And I thought that that's why, and Katie Huberty came out and basically said it, which is, come on, this is not news. It's just, there's just tremendous demand for the product. Let's move on. So I did not take it as nearly negative as when the story broke down. Obviously, there'll be numbers that are cut. and numbers that are cut always send the stock down. Goldman Sachs used the opportunity once again to slag Apple. They're a slagger.
Yep. Although, in general, chips now back to the 200-day on the SMH, flat since January. Micron, 52-week low yesterday.
Oh, Micron, real breakdown. Broadcom is protected by the dividend. I've been liking, said this to the, we sent out some bulletins to members of the club, that you can't put all these, Micron is not Marvell, okay? NVIDIA and Advanced Micro are card companies, okay? They're GPU. So you're wondering why they're not going down. They're not the same. Skyworks is directly related to Apple. Qualcomm is too. But David, how about the way that they waited and hit people with that buyback?
$10 billion.
What'd you think of that? Cristiano, yeah. Huh? Playing hardball.
Yeah, it's a pretty big number. New stock repurchase authorization. That's already in addition to the $900 million that they had left on their previous.
What'd you think of that?
It's a nice number. It's a nice number. It's having a positive impact on the stock price this morning. I mean, there have been a lot of buybacks. Remember when they moved from buying NXPI to not, and they increased the buyback
to 70-80. They came in there and bought a lot.
So it's an important part of their overall strategy in terms of capital allocation.
But how about the succession there, Christian, engineer from Malenkov?
Well, Malenkov was an engineer too.
Malenkov was a titan. Yes. You don't talk about him enough. Christian from Brazil. I like him.
You do.
I like
do
him
you
lot.
Like him?
Yeah, I like
Does
him.
Does that mean he's going to be a guest on Mad Money soon? Or
yes, that's
already...
exactly what it means.
Okay. Yeah. I picked up on the way
you think
it works
I'm that
now.
Transparent? What do you see? I got somebody lined up tomorrow. I'm not going to say.
You're not?
But I'm bringing him on home to me, as Sam Cooke says.
So Mad Money, not this show?
No, this show.
Oh, this show.
Oh, really?
Wait, what?
I'm in a zen moment.
Wow.
Do you know that my wife... who never's watched this show, didn't even know I'd have one, said to me, I heard you hug David yesterday. What was that about? I said it was an affirmation that once you have vaccines, it actually means something. Unlike the rest of the country, who thinks it means nothing. She said, were you hugging it out? Did you have a fight with him? I said, no, I was hugging to demonstrate that once you're vaccinated, and if we required instead of mandated, then people say, okay, I'm required to get that.
Anytime you want to hug, I'm
kind of like workers' comp.
You know that.
Required.
Yeah.
I took a Binex now as soon as
there's been a lot of work last 24 hours on states like Texas, Tennessee, Louisiana, Hawaii, where the cases have not rolled over, but in some cases back to cycle lows.
Your tweet was the first thing I read this morning, and it was just so exhilarating. I was just so excited because what you basically said is it's over.
What J.P. Morgan has put it like that. Effective end of the pandemic is how they put it this week.
And yet everyone's so negative. We need like a
is
coach
really
in chief.
Really so negative?
Well, then
it's not about the pandemic. It's
don't
about
do
all
anything.
The other things we talk about.
I
so
think
often.
Oil. It's I think oil peaks.
It's inflation at 5.4%. It's continued demand. It's a labor shortage, or at least a complete mismatch in terms of people who are not wanting to work and the
well,
need
I'm,
for people
I'm working
who do
on that.
Work.
And
then people
working on that.
Oh, you're working on that one,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, the 30-year...
Is that taking... which is first, working on the chip shortage or working on the worker shortage?
I got a lot
shortage?
To do. Carly Garner, my best chartist, said that oil has peaked 30 years. 30 years. When you look at the chart, this week. This week.
You mean 30. The seasonality in
seasonality.
Oil.
This week. Right now. This week. 30 years.
Well,
you look at the
80.
Chart.
WTI is below 80.
Right here.
It's been
right now.
A move, though.
Yeah.
What do you do with that? What do you sell Chevron?
No,
what do you do?
Well, I like Chevron, but you can
you
go
don't.
Buy, you know, this is inflation. Do you know what the most important note was this morning? It wasn't Signet numbers, which I loved, and it wasn't HubSpot, which was amazing. It was a note I read about the top Truist, David Truist.
Truist, okay yes.
That they're calling it top in linerboard. Now, linerboard's the most sensitive commodity to an economic cycle. They're saying WestRock, PKG, IP, top. Now, if you got a top in chemicals, if you take a look at Dow Chemical, people are looking for down here. You got a top in chemicals, you got a top in linerboard. What you have is a top in inflation.
Hmm.
My father sold linerboard from living. When that cycle broke, he would come home, he would just put his boxers on, go in his bedroom and slam the door after having a big glass of wild turkey. And my mother would say, don't you dare bother. Don't you dare bother, Dad. Don't you dare. That was the top of the linerboard cycle. Just a little kind of death of a salesman rap. My father, he actually at one point had Boston and Norfolk, the same one that Lee Jacob had.
Willie Loman.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I call him
you're not a dime a dozen?
He had, no, Biff. I was Biff.
You weren't happy?
No, my father had the terrible territory. He was selling toys then. He sold toys, sold carpets, then he sold linerboard. Linerboard was the worst because when it peaks, boom, you're done. And that this truest call today is a call that says inflation's peaking. Oil.
Attention must commodity. Be paid, huh?
Yes.
Smile and smile and a shoe shine? Yeah. We could do this all day.
We can, man. Waterfront.
He used to bring me back like a plastic toy. Come on. My God, it was
Keep it coming.
Depressing. It was so depressing. I remember once he got Caesars. He sold bags of Caesars.
We've already connected Lee J. Cobb and from the movie.
I had to worry about Lee J. Cobb's in my mind.
Willie Loman.
How about 12 right. Angry Men? What?
How about back to, I don't know, what do you want to talk about? Back to the stock market?
How about Ford? How about Ford?
I feel like, I just want to come back to Apple because I always feel like at a $2.3 trillion market value, it's worth talking about a lot.
By the way, there's also an event on the 18th.
There is an event on the 18th. They're also talking about potentially health.
Yes, AirPod.
And making the AirPods.
You know, that's Tim Cook's desire is to have that.
Posture management on your AirPods.
Stand up.
You always have to back like there's a string. I think Apple's doing so much better than people realize, but let's not forget the small-mindedness of the Apple analysts who will seize on this and say that it's a sign that things really aren't that good. Now, I have Tony Saganegi on at 11:12:123 after I give him the dental insurance.
He's kidding.
And totally.
Yes.
Now, Tony can run with this and say negative things, always conclusion with just say, but you know what? Don't worry. You know, the house is burning. But don't worry. No. And I'm waiting for Tony to come on and say, look, this is exactly what I've been looking for, which is a cut in numbers. And then that's it.
One thing we have not gotten to really is SAP and LVMH raising their guidance on the SAP side. LVMH sales up 20, fashion up 24. Are we beginning to thread out these early commentaries?
I think that SAP shows you once again the cloud is king. I had a CrowdStrike on last night, cloud security, cloud Okta tonight, that's more cloud security. Moving to cloud is still an amazing theme, and we're not, I don't want to talk about what inning we're in, but maybe we're
still early.
First quarter.
It's very early.
But LVMH, David, who's the richest man in the world?
Well, I believe it might be Musk, but I think Bernard Arnault is who you're talking about. I haven't kept track, but he very well may be the richest man in the world.
I saw Bernard Arnault when I was in Italy.
I'd love you to
Italy.
Open up the 21 Club again, though, Bernard. Can you do that, please? Because I miss it.
He's the best. He's even better dressed than
it was so very convenient. Nice place to meet people for a drink. Just come on, man.
How about Poltrone? You
like that? Yeah, sure.
Fabrizio Freda and Bernard Arnault are the two best dressed CEOs in the world. And I think it's time that we become really frivolous and given a word to the best dressed CEOs.
Luxury, still a huge beneficiary of the
China.
China.
What do you make of that? They haven't cracked down.
No, well, and, you know, it's not just them. It's, as you say, it's Bernard Pinault also at his company. It's Richemont.
Do you know that Richemont is, when you talk with them, that is the number one gift because the communist regime doesn't mind if you have a $15,000 watch.
Right.
Or a $50,000 watch. You can go to Hong Kong.
So it is interesting to continue to see that kind of demand coming from China, which is really the fuel for so many of these luxury companies.
So have you changed? Did you throw out your burner phone that you're using to talk to Jack Ma in China and get a new burner phone to talk to him in Hong Kong?
There are reports that Jack Ma is now in Hong Kong, which, of course, is part of China. So, it's not that hard to get there.
Today, no one said great things about Nike today. It's disappointing. But, of course, the stock's up anyway. The analysts cannot, there's certain stocks that they're just addicted to. They're addicted to Nike.
We did get the Goldman initiation yesterday.
Yeah, that was very positive.
Buy 172, great cash, room to expand direct-to-consumer. They thought the sourcing concerns were overdone.
Vietnam has made a real comeback. But that was a very disappointing quarter. So people who are in there better hope that there's a change in the direction. The United States is very strong. I think interesting that Boeing's back up after that number that came out. Where
Boeing is up, and you see it's up 4.5% for the year, which I guess is a benefit for you and the investment club.
You talk about Plug Power?
Because you still own that company.
Talk about Plug Power.
Yeah, it's fresh 2-month high on Plug today.
You had them on last night, right?
2 days ago, but that's
ago,
kind.
Sorry.
Andy Marsh is about to announce the first real long-range green hydrogen truck with Renault. He's got deals with Amazon. He's got deal with Walmart, Home Depot, and now he's got a GM deal. And I think green hydrogen, he's the way. Now, you need a $3 subsidy from Congress in order to make this thing actually economic. It is not economic right now. But Plug Power, if we got one major, I've been pushing Chevron to put Plug Power terminals at their Chevron store. That's failed.
Yep.
But BP's likely. Look at that chop. See, now that's there's a stock that's making a comeback.
Morgan Stanley target is 40, which would imply 35% upside. Almost. They talk about legislative support.
Yeah, well, Chuck Schumer's going to be up there. This analyst meeting is very big that he's having, Andy. Remember, Andy worked at Lucent, and he used to say that one day the cell phone, which, if you remember, was like the size of a brick, is going to be light and terrific. He was a visionary.
There was a brief time when Lucent was the most widely held stock, I believe.
Rich McGinn.
Yes, Rich McGinn.
I got the call that the quarter was late.
Yeah.
Like everybody else did. Remember
the
quarter was late?
Rough period.
Hit that
there.
Big Brazilian contract, made it the last day.
Amazing, Lucent. Back to J.P. Morgan, guys. It is down 1.6%.
This is but a
along the lines that you had discussed it, it might be.
Suckers were paying up for it.
Not a great market response at this point. Of course, stock's still outperforming the broader market by a good amount this year with a 28% gain. But there's a look at JPM.
A lot of people pay up for it when it's never worked. Why don't they just accept the consequences? No.
What? Is there really going to be loan growth in its future?
Yes. It's just that, Jamie just is, he goes with the fortress balance sheet. What we really want to hear is fortress earnings per share. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, a JP Morgan is probably going to be a great buy when it gets to 270 on a yield. But it's just painful because people just refuse to understand, do not pay up for J.P. Morgan. It's when the numbers came out, 648 this morning?
Yep.
And already people are paying 166 and 50. But obviously, what are they doing? What, they know where they have a book on how to lose money? There'll be a guy that's like a bestseller. How stupid that was.
Fang's doing all right other than Apple. Facebook obviously was down yesterday, although it didn't end. Hit some lows during the course of the day. What's the shaking of the finger mean?
I am telling you that Facebook advisory board.
Yeah.
They're interviewing the whistleblower. And the Facebook advisory board, if you look at it, they're not owned by Zuckerberg. The chief guy is a...
But they just make proposals, don't they? Binding.
I think that's going to change.
So they can tell Zuckerberg, this is what we recommend, but he doesn't have to listen.
No. Danish prime minister.
I'm not sure what leverage they'd have over owner.
No, we're going to 58%
voting control.
I'll tell you what we're going to do.
What are we going to do?
We're going to give them more leverage.
We are.
Yeah, by saying, listen, this is it. These people are so distinguished. They are so good. And they have to be listened to. Did you see this one? Retired 10th Circuit appellate judge. Have you seen Nobel laureates? What are you going to say no to them? This is it. This is the line in the sand. When they come down and it's not Moses with Dothan. He's not Dothan. Remember Dothan, who played Dothan?
No.
Edward G. Robinson.
Edward, that's my line.
Yeah, well, that's why.
Sorry.
Because you can imitate him. That's why I did it. Okay. Go ahead.
Everybody's got down, Moses.
But I am telling you that this is a heavyweight group. Judge McConnell is the head of it.
So you think that Zuckerberg will actually be forced to listen to the recommendations of this all-star group of
I'm putting my neck in the guillotine and saying yes. Now, if he pulls it off and he does Marie Antoinette to me or something, that would be difficult. Especially when I have this really nice tie on.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
You like that guitar?
Yeah, I do.
You've got two suits on. I never understand that outfit. This is Zane action. But, I think he's going to listen. And I think he's going to listen because if you look at the makeup, and you can Google the makeup, these people are they're such hitters that if he doesn't listen to them, he's making a major mistake. And we're going to break the tablets.
Well, it definitely bounced right off the 200-day, back to 325. Market, though, has gone into the red on the Dow. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Hey, Bob.
down a little bit in some of the other sectors as well. Banks in general. Take a look at the sectors for this morning. We had a little bit of a wobbly pre-open because everyone had a hard time trying to figure out how to interpret the CPI. Is it really inflationary? Is it not? It was kind of in line, but yields moved up and then back down. A little tough to figure that out this morning. But as you can see here, materials up, tech doing well, banks down. That is very typical. Banks tend to move down as you head into earnings season. Normal pattern there. Energy, though, has been another big momentum leader, down a little bit today, but it's had an incredible run. Bottom line is earnings season is beginning, and I got good news and bad news for you. The good news is demand is terrific across the board. Companies keep saying we've got plenty of customers out there. Here's the bad news. You've heard about all the supply chain disruption. It's very serious. We've had commodity and labor inflation. On top of that, we've got some China growth fears. You throw it all together, there's a little bit of a problem because of these issues here. The 20 or so companies that have reported before the banks have reported, they've been a little more cautious, and it's been a little bit tougher. The magnitude of earnings beats are not as strong as earlier in this year. So we've had about 21 companies reporting, excluding JP Morgan this morning. Their average beats have been 11%. Now, historically, that's pretty high. Usually it's 3-5%. But the past few quarters, we've had 18-20% beats. So they're not beating by as much. That's one problem. The second problem is those early reporters, those 21 companies, they're not providing guidance that is as strong as the last quarter. So the analysts aren't raising estimates as aggressively as they were in prior quarters. So that's going to be a big issue. Now, what everybody is watching, the most important thing for the S&P 500 is what the operating margins are going to be. We have had record operating margins, north of 13% this year. Now, right now, and this is an estimate for the second quarter, it's about 12.6%. So it's down a little bit, but don't kid yourself. These are still very, very high numbers. The historic average going back 30 years, about 8.5%. We have been inching up for a long time, and we've been at that 13% level for a number of years now. So it's not clear how long we're going to be able to sustain that. 12%, 12.5% still would be pretty good overall. The important thing about, I think, today, what happened with BlackRock, the big story here is iShares and the money that keeps going in. Larry Fink made the greatest deal of the century when he bought iShares, essentially the iShares company, from Barclays in 2009. It was $13.5 billion. The money he has added because of that deal, probably the greatest deal he ever did, has been extraordinary. But even here, and I'm just looking at the long-term flows for this quarter alone into the ETF business, and that's iShares, $58 billion. This is mostly reflecting money going into passive index investment. There is active management that's still there, but it's mostly passive. And the retail flows are still continuing, institutional flows. Essentially, it's all about the inflows here and all about that money that keeps going into the ETF business. Larry Fink, one of the great deals of the century. BlackRock, by the way, has been a great performer. It's up 125% since the March 2020 bottom. That's beaten the S&P 500. It's up about 100%. Great showing again by Larry Fink and company. Carl, back to you.
All right, Bob. Thank you, Bob Pisani. We are keeping our eye on the Blue Origin flight. I think we've got the astronauts and passengers, Morgan, headed to the pad.
They are now headed to the pad. We had seen that hold because the engineers at Blue Origin were working on the vehicle readiness for the rocket and that new Shepard capsule. That took a little more time than expected. So we're now less than 42 minutes from expected liftoff for this latest all-civilian flight to the edge of space. And you can see, Carl, I mean, they're driving, the astronauts are driving. Bezos is with them, Jeff Bezos, the founder of Blue Origin. The four astronauts are driving out to the launch pad. This is launch site one. This is in West Texas, where there's not a whole lot other than tumbleweeds, tarantulas, and in the case of this particular site, rocket scientists. And it's poised to be the latest historic mission. I feel like I've been saying that a lot this year, where commercial spaceflight is concerned, but with William Shatner on board at 90 years old, he is poised to become the oldest person to fly to space, and it does speak to the opening up of spaceflight more broadly, albeit to people that maybe have deep pockets or close relationships with people that have deep pockets, but the opening up of space to more people, more civilians. Carl.
All right, Morgan, we're going to watch it as our eyes are all over West Texas. As we go to break, time for the bond report. We did get up to about 159 or so this morning, backing off just a touch now. I think we got the 10-year back to 154, 155. And with that, we got the Dow back down 77 and the S&P just a shade below 4350. Be right back. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
We're thinking always about where did the workers go. It's a theme for us. And I believe that one of the problems is productivity has made it so a lot of workers, hey, we don't need you. Workday this morning, Davidson starts with a buy. Workday is Anil Bushri. He's done a remarkable job. They were usually human capital. But now this theory is that the financial hub that they're doing, the silo, is good. Watch Workday. Workday is a sign, like SAP, like Okta, which I have on tonight, like Salesforce. These are companies, ServiceNow, that basically make it so you can do more with less. And I think that's a continual theme. When labor gets expensive, you bring in these companies. Yeah. So let's watch this.
CRM, just a shade below an all-time high.
Incredible.
Again,
and Mark Benioff, I do not think he's going anywhere. I'm hit with that every day. He's going somewhere. Well, yeah, he's taking his plane and going somewhere. But
where would he be going? Where do people think he might be going?
They have no answer because he's not going anywhere.
Okay.
He's not. You know, he's friends with David Blaine.
David Blaine?
Yeah. And he once had me so Blaine
so
slips
David
up.
Blaine will make him go into thin air? What?
I mentioned it because it's for no reason whatsoever, actually. David Blaine is incredibly funny. I mean, sew up Dr. Oz. No, yeah, Dr. Oz sew up the lips of someone I wouldn't mention. And it turned out the Ace of Spades was in the guy's mouth, and Blaine knew it because I had put the Ace of Spades in. There was no way he saw it. How did he know the Ace of Spades was in the guy's mouth?
Yep.
How?
I don't know.
Isn't there that great viral video where he's doing a trick at Harrison Ford's kitchen and Ford says, get out of my house. He's so freaked out by the trick.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's a good one.
He was doing a trick and I told him my dog died and he stopped doing the trick. He loves dogs.
Jim, we're going to keep our eye on Blue Origin here. I mean, how do you draw the line between something like this and, I don't know, few investable opportunities in space? Is this just vanity here?
It is. I think it is vanity. One day it might not be, but it is vanity now. I'm not saying it's. But look, hey, maybe it's the Wright brothers. And if we were doing our show back then, we would have said, hey, wait a second. There's a couple guys in North Carolina doing some interesting things.
Well, the Wright brothers had no money and no education.
Well, yeah.
A couple bicycle shop guys.
True.
Although getting to space is expensive.
So. It is. It is very expensive.
That's
why it's financed by two of the wealthiest people in the world.
It is a vanity of the rich people.
It is.
But they're not killing the poor people.
There is an enormous potential opportunity here in terms of so many different things that are going into space.
I mean, we didn't even talk about CRISPR.
It's not just about space tourism that we're looking at here.
No, it's very exciting. But it's a little bit prurient. Rich people prurient. We used to go to art museums. Now we look at launches.
I could look at a launch all day long.
We used to stop. Remember when we used to stop to watch John Glenn take off?
Well, no, I don't remember that.
Oh, he wasn't born.
Yeah, I don't remember that. That was 63.
We all wanted to be astronauts. Yeah. What do you guys want? What do you want to do when you grow up? Astronaut! Astronaut! I mean, to replace firefighter. Astronaut! We all wanted to be astronauts. That lasted a while.
We might get there again.
I know. Who knows? Maybe the three of us will go up one of these days.
I mean, come on, Shatner. I always like just free to that the Trivials and the cement galoshes.
You'd do the first show from space. How about that? Dash from space.
I can't even get a show done in San Francisco. Now I'm going to get one in space. How's COVID up there? David, the Xilinx AMD, you got to work on it.
All right.
We'll see you tonight. Yep. Mad Money, 6 p.m. When we come back, we're going to watch Shatner and the liftoff as the Dow's down 150. Don't go away. You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.